Welcome to another episode of Vegas TMI, the official City of Las Vegas podcast where we talk about the things that make the City of Las Vegas timely, memorable, and iconic. I'm Shane.
And I'm Jen.
Hello, Jen.
Shane, nice to see you.
Welcome back from maternity leave.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
So what do we have on the docket today? What are we talking about?
Well, we are going to be taking a trip down memory lane back to the year 2000. That was the last time that the city had a master plan developed that would guide our development up until the year 2020. And that plan is up next year.
Yep. So we're done. Mission accomplished, right? No more planning?
Well, it's not so easy. So now we're going to be planning for the year 2050. So the city is undertaking a big effort to get community feedback on what kind of city we want to be in 2050 and set some parameters that will help guide development over the next few decades.
I mean, that's optimistic, 2050. I don't know if I'm going to make it to tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, what is Las Vegas going to look like in 2050? Are cars really going to be able to fly by then? That's what I really want to know.
I don't think so. I'm not going to make that promise. But a lot of things have changed in the time from the last plan, and these plans are so broad and so long that they don't take into account some of these upcoming major changes to our population and our transportation issues, you know, things like the Raiders stadium opening.
Yeah, there's been a tremendous amount of growth in Las Vegas in the last few decades, and it'll be interesting to see how continued growth with new industries like professional sports and the Las Vegas Medical District will impact that in the future.
Yep, and we are running out of space. There's not much room, so you know, density is going to be an issue. I come from Los Angeles, where population density is much higher than it is here, and so now that we can no longer expand, you know, to the north, west, south, we're pretty much locked in now. So that's going to be a big issue.
Yeah, and it'll be great for the community to be able to get involved too. So if you would like to share your voice about what you'd like to see the city focus on in the future, you can go to masterplan.vegas and take a quick survey where you can help gauge some of the different industries and interests about how important they are and what you'd like to see the city focus on.
Yeah, and a master plan is really important because it provides a broad overview so you can know what your city, what you would like it to look like and sort of go in that direction. If you just start building a house without kind of an overall plan of what you want your house to end up like, you could have some weird wonky structure. So this will help us prioritize resources and think about things that we need to think about now that we're changing into a city that doesn't have a lot of land to expand.
Elected officials will come and go, and so will our city manager over the next few decades. But this plan is really meant to be that guiding hand over development practices to build a city that the community said that they wanted.
Exactly. So we've got a continuity of purpose there with these master plans. So our communications director, David Riggleman, is going to sit down with Robert Sommerfeld, our City of Las Vegas planning director, and one of the members of the Citizens Advisory Committee for the master plan, Amanda Klein, and they're going to give us the details.
David, take it away.
Hello, everyone. This is David Riggleman, Communications Director with the city. Las Vegas is a fast-growing city of more than 650,000 residents over nearly 142 square miles. It only makes sense that we grow smart and that we have a master plan to help ensure that, because it will keep a high quality of life and not to mention make sure that we're a world-class city. To discuss the new Las Vegas 2050 master plan process and the future of our city, I'm joined by Robert Sommerfeld, City of Las Vegas Planning Director, and Amanda Klein, who's a member of the Citizens Advisory Committee for the plan. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Robert, let me ask you first, why a master plan is so important for the city, and why our citizens really need to get involved in this?
So a master plan is so important for the city because it's that continuity. It's that administrations change. We have new city managers. We have new members of our city council. But for the citizens, they want to make sure that our community is growing in a particular particular way. And so having a master plan provides continuity through change. It provides a set of goals that the community has endorsed and embraced that carry over from one executive group, one city manager group, one planning director to another planning director. And as city council members come on board, they can see what was the vision for the community that the overall community embraced. And so it helps that piece of it.
Sort of sets a vision for where the city is headed so that no one will be surprised.
Exactly. It provides that blueprint that then lots of policies will shift and change, but it provides that overarching goal for the city that provides that direction.
All right. Amanda, let me ask you, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you found it so important to be involved in the committee that's going to be advising on how the master plan comes together.
Yeah, so I am very proud to be Vegas born. I've lived in this community my entire life. And I'm in healthcare marketing, so I've worked in a number of hospitals throughout the community. I worked for Sunrise, Sunrise Children's, Mountain View, doing public relations and marketing. And now I work for Anthem, Blue Cross Blue Shield, doing marketing for them. I'm also the co-chair for the American Cancer Society of Southern Nevada's Leadership Board, and I'm competing for the title of Mrs. Nevada. So
you've got nothing going on in your
nothing
life
going
right
on,
now.
Nothing going on. But I guess you could say that, you know, the city of Las Vegas has always had my heart. You know, this is where I intend to raise my family. I certainly plan on being a resident of Las Vegas in 30 years, knock on wood. And I think I was asked to be a member of the committee for a couple of reasons. I'm what they call an elder millennial. So I'm 35. I'm not that young, but I'm a little bit young. And I can give that perspective. And then also because I'm in healthcare, I can provide that perspective as well.
What are some of the things that you would like to see the master plan address specifically?
Yeah, so, you know, we've only had high-level conversations to this point, but for me, it's all about transportation, education, and healthcare. You know, I travel a lot for business and for pleasure, and, you know, I go to these other cities like Denver, for example, and the way that they're able to use public transportation to move people from the mountains or downtown is something that I think would work really well for our city, whether that be rail or subway or however that looks. You know, obviously moving people on Maryland Parkway is far more important than my desire, but I would love to be able to go to a Knights game without having to deal with parking and traffic.
Right.
So that's my own personal ask. So I'm sure transportation will be a huge part of the conversation. Education, I am very proud to be a product of the public education system in Southern Nevada. And I think we have a lot of really great things going on in this community in terms of education that don't get as much promotion as they probably should. Through Mrs. Nevada, I have the opportunity to read to the kids a lot in the schools. And what I have observed is students that are eager to learn, parents that are actively engaged, and teachers that are incredibly engaged in the success of their students. And I think that that's a huge opportunity to tell the world about what we have here in Southern Nevada.
So in other words, you'd rather see, rather than the city just kind of grow organically this way and that way, to have some kind of plan, some kind of vision, to have all of those things come mm-hmm. together through an effective master plan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then in terms of healthcare, you know, we have so much opportunity with the new medical program and the campus that essentially is growing around UMC. You know, I could see us being a Med City Dallas one day.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be a great thing to have happen for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Robert, let me ask you this. It's my understanding that there are four main parts to the plan. Can you tell us what those are and why they're so important?
So the four main parts of the plan, they center around these themes at the moment. So land use and the environment, transportation and infrastructure, economy and education, and then finally quality of life. And I think as you just heard from Amanda, these are the components that we're hearing from the community or the themes that they want to see us tackle in the master plan for the next 30 years. We heard it from our council when we did our strategic retreat just a little, I think it's been just about a year ago now, that quality of life is so important for our citizens. And how do we get to that quality of life? It's kind of tackling some of those other things, particularly transportation. We know transportation is going to be a huge issue going forward. We've got some transportation projects that are in the works through our partnership with RTC and some other things, which is great. But what does that do with some of the evolving technologies? What happens when autonomous vehicles become a real thing versus the wonderful pilots that the city of Las Vegas has actually been able to participate in? What happens to parking structures and that piece of our infrastructure when maybe people aren't parking cars for a work day and cars are maybe just parking to charge or between going to pick up new trips and without people involved? So taking a look at those components, I think one of the big pieces is that land use. How are we going to continue to develop as a community? Where is the new shopping going to be? Is again, the retail market continues to evolve, and things like big box stores are shrinking and actually becoming almost back to a Main Street boutique feel, where people go in to experience the product, but maybe they aren't buying the product in the store that day or buying it to take home that day. Maybe they buy it for it to be shipped to their home. So that changing evolution is going to be a big piece of what we're looking at as we're projecting out what does the next 20, 30 years of the city of Las Vegas look like.
Right. Sounds like you're spot on with those categories, because based on what Amanda was saying, it seems like we're in line with what people are concerned with and what their goals for the city would be down the road.
Absolutely.
This question is for both of you. As you know, the city is experiencing a period of growth again. We have new homes being built, especially west of the 215, as well as major projects coming online like the Main Street renovations that we've seen and the completion of Project Neon. My question is this: what impact does the city's growth have in putting together a master plan? Because it seems to me it's almost a moving target depending on how fast things grow.
So I'll let Amanda give her perspective and then...
Yeah, you know, having watched the city grow over the last several years, I think... for me, it's all about sustainable growth, not just growing for growth's sake. And I think one way that we do that is industry diversification. During the recession, we, you know, came to realize very quickly that we couldn't rely solely on gaming. And bringing technology and healthcare and these high-end industries into our community, I think, will help with that sustainable growth over the long term.
You think, Robert?
And so for me, one of the big things that the master plan will tackle, and I think this is at a high level, is that conversation. The city of Las Vegas is essentially landlocked at this point. We have, for the last 20, 30 years, we've grown outwards. But what I think we're going to find is that now we're going to be growing up, not just in maturing as becoming an older statesman city in the state of Nevada, but also growing up in terms of the infill, of looking for those opportunities for new residential, new retail, new commercial activities to occur in areas where previously you build a single family subdivision and then you moved on to a strip shopping center and then another single family subdivision. I think we're going to be looking for new innovative ways for the development community to respond to the fact that there's smaller lots available. Those lots are going to be in existing neighborhoods and communities. And what does that mean for the kind of the changing landscape? We have very little land to grow outward. And how do we use that land? Because we do have some, and what does that mean for our future growth?
I think that may be a revelation to some people that are hearing this, Robert, that we are landlocked as a city. I think there's this sense that, oh, there's plenty of space out there, plenty of room for the city to grow. Not necessarily the case. Our jurisdictional boundaries are limited based on what surrounds them, correct?
Absolutely. So for the city of Las Vegas, we have the monument, the National Monument to the northeast of us. We have the Red Rock Conservation Area to the west. And then we have North Las Vegas to the east and in the urbanized Clark County to the south of us. So we really are within our boundaries at this point. We have very limited outward growth potential at
basically
this point.
Just west of the 215 within the city limits is one of the few areas that still has some available land out there, some out in the northwest.
Right.
But beyond that, there's really not that much land for the city to expand into.
Correct. But what we have found is we have tons of vacant land inside of our boundaries.
Great point.
That has real opportunity to complete the community, if you would. And so there's going to be some really good opportunities for development partners going forward.
And all the more reason you have to have a good plan, because now everything's going to be much closer together.
So, absolutely.
Robert, Amanda, what is the time frame for the new master plan to go before the city council for approval? How far out is this process going to take?
So we're looking at the official public kickoff will actually be occurring in 2 weeks from now. We think this will be a one-year process. So approximately next spring is when we anticipate having the plan before council. But in that year, we will be going to council with briefings. We will have updates. We will be continually working with our Citizens Advisory Committee, a technical committee that will be comprised of city staff as well as folks from the utilities and some of the other things. So about a year is going to be this planning process, but it's going to be a very intense year with lots of touch points back to council, to the community, a lot of interactions with members of the community at kind of all levels, from meeting folks at community centers to the official Citizens Advisory Committee and all kinds of things in between.
How can people make sure that they're updated on what's happening with this process and also give feedback?
So as I mentioned, we are kicking off the master plan the week of March 18th, and we will be having what we call pop-up opportunities for the public to learn about the master plan and tell us what kind of Las Vegas they want to see over the next 30 years. Those locations and times are all available at www.masterplan.vegas.
Well, Amanda, we want to thank you and your other committee members for taking the time to serve on this group to help advise where the city should move, to give that feedback. And I know that you're hoping that the citizens will do the same out there and also provide input, right, as to where the city should head.
Absolutely. So our role on the Citizens Advisory Committee is really twofold. First, we all come from different parts of the city. So going to our new neighbors, having those conversations of what would you like to see? Here's some, you know, give us some feedback on what we're thinking for the master plan. And then secondarily to that, really being a cheerleader for the master plan and talking to people and promoting what we're looking, the vision for our city for the next 30 years.
Well, we appreciate it. It's a time commitment. How often will you meet between now and the time the master plan is finished?
You know, I think it's about once a month that we'll meet, probably a bit more intensive at the beginning and the end, but I'm excited to be a part of it.
All right. Well, you're a busy person. This is going to be a big time commitment, so we really thank you for getting involved. And again, as Robert was saying, we hope that citizens out there get involved as well. We want to hear from them. If you want to see what your city is going to look like 30 years from now or 20 years from now and have a hand in that, this is the time to get involved, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we are trying to make sure that we have as many convenient ways for people to give us that feedback as possible. So we look forward to hearing from everyone out there as to what the city of Las Vegas can and should be looking towards in the next 20 to 30 years.
Right. Well, we're about out of time here. Is there anything else either of you would like to add?
I just want to say thank you myself to Amanda and to everyone on the Citizens Advisory Committee. As you pointed out very eloquently, it is a huge time commitment from a number of people who have a lot of other things going on in their lives. And so for those folks that have joined us on that committee to take the time out to add this as one more thing they're doing, we really appreciate it here at the City of Las Vegas.
Amanda.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm incredibly honored to be a part of this process.
Well, and good luck with Mrs. Nevada.
Thank you. Fingers crossed.
Well. Okay. Well, thank you both for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing more on the new master plan in the months to come.
Thanks, David. Wow. This is going to be a huge undertaking for the city, but it will definitely be worth it in the end.
Yes, and maybe you will get your flying car after all.
We'll have to see. 2050, that seems very far off, but as we all know, it'll be here in a flash.
It will be here in a flash, and the only way to make it into the city that you want it to be is to get involved, to make sure your voice is heard. Make sure you keep up with the plans and what's going on.
Yep. So you can go to masterplan.vegas to share your feedback about what you'd like the city to focus on in our new master plan. And then in the timeline, as they move this plan forward.
Yeah, how long is this going to take?
Well, you know, we're government, so it's going to take a little bit of time. We're going to take public feedback through the summer. And then this fall, the draft plan will be available. And then our planning department hopes to present it to the city council sometime next winter for adoption.
And you don't live in the city, right?
So I do not.
What's the Henderson plan look like?
Well, good question. I don't know, but maybe I'll go research it after this. But even if you don't live in the city and you spend a lot of time here, we'd love to hear your thoughts too.
To catch up on past episodes of Vegas TMI, you can go to lasvegasnevada.gov/podcast.
Or if you want to get in touch with us, you can use the hashtag VegasTMI on any of your favorite social media channels.
Subscribe to this podcast on Google Play Music Store, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Wherever you get your podcasts, we'll be there.
We'll see you next time.
TTFN from Vegas TMI.